after a moment, Luke said, "We all know you're doing everything possible under the circumstances." He glanced out the window at the Galactic Justice Center, which was beginning to sway so wildly now that the deck of Fellowship Plaza could be seen buckling around it, then asked, "What do the reports say about how the Sky Towers collapse?"
"It's usually a well-placed explosion or a hot-burning fire," she said, following his gaze. "We don't have any reports of buildings being shaken down, if that's what you're thinking."
"It is, but I still don't like what we're seeing over there," Luke said. He turned toward the government side of the table. "It might be wise to evacuate the Galactic Justice Center." Both Boitus and Senator Wool nodded, and Dorvin said, "Would you please give the order, General Horn?"
"Of course," Mirax said. She glanced back to Luke. "Before I see to it, there is one more thing I'd like to mention."
"Yes?" Luke asked.
"We've received several reports of, well, of an observer," she said. "A tall man with a rugged, tattooed face showed up at hand-to-hand combat near Fellowship Plaza. So far he's done nothing but watch, but when Jedi Savitu noticed a dark side aura and tried to take him into custody, he disarmed her. Then he said something very odd. 'Not yet, Jedi. Abeloth first.'"
"These tattoos," Luke asked, "do they radiate from around his eyes?"
"Jedi Savitu described it as a spray pattern with the eyes at the center," Mirax replied. "Then you know who he is?"
Luke shook his head. "Not at all," he said. "But I caught a glimpse of him during the trouble we had leaving the spaceport. He certainly didn't appear to be a member of the Lost Tribe."
"Then I'll put out a report location-only bulletin on him," she said. "We certainly have no need to go out looking for a fight right now."
"I think that's best," Luke agreed.
"Thank you."
Mirax glanced around the table, then said,
"If I'm not needed here, I'll see to the Justice Center evacuation."
Luke dipped his chin and said, "Thank you, Mirax. We'll send you some additional Jedi support as soon as we're able." As she stepped away from the table, he turned his attention to Gavin Darklighter.
"How soon can we start withdrawing our combination teams from the temple?"
Gavin stared at the table a moment, gathering his thoughts, then looked up.
"We're making progress."
Judging by the dark circles beneath his eyes, he had not slept since the assault on the temple had begun.
"We control everything above level 370 and below the pinnacle."
"Above 370? Dorvin asked. "Then you haven't captured the computer core?"
Darklighter shook his head.
"Not yet."
"Then you have captured nothing!"
Dorvin's voice was pitched high, and his eyes were bulging. He glanced around the table.
"Does no one understand? The beloved queen is living in the computer, too! She is the computer!"
Gavin nodded wearily.
"You did mention that. Several times in the post-rescue debriefing, Chief Dorvin. And we'll deal with the computer core just as soon as we're able to attack it."
He shifted his attention back to the others.
"In the meantime, we're splitting the Sith forces that remain in the temple, driving them down into the sublevels and up into the pinnacle. We've encountered a lot of resistance in the upper levels. And frankly, if Chief Dorvin hadn't told us that Abeloth was in the computer core, we would be inclined to believe that she is somewhere near Pinnacle Platform."
The message was clear. Whatever Dorvin believed, the Space Marines were pretty sure that they had located Abeloth on Pinnacle Platform. Of course, after her conversation with Tahiri, Jaina realized that it was all too likely that both Dorvin and the Space Marines were right.
"And why would you believe that she is at the Pinnacle, Admiral?"
Luke asked.